Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show, special Mother's Day broadcast. I'm delighted to have three of my moms on the air with me this morning. I have my Texan earthly mom, Dee Jones, from Houston, Texas, my Cajun mom, Ginger White, from Plaquemine, Louisiana, and my German mom, Diane Heise, from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We're going to be doing a little visiting from the kitchen with plenty of hot-to-hot conversations. Good morning, ladies. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Good morning.
Did we lose someone there?
This is Dee. I'm here from Texas.
Okay, great. Dee, hey, Dee, how are you? And Ginger, I presume you're still on?
I am still on, honey.
Okay. I thought I saw Diane, and I believe she's back on the air with me. Let me.
I'm here. I'm in Jackson, Mississippi at a tennis tournament.
Wonderful. I knew you were going to call in, so I'm really excited that you were able to join us.
Yeah, and I didn't look at my phone to see what time it was when we got here, but he's not playing till later this afternoon, so.
Oh, cool. So you're going to be with us for the whole hour. That's fantastic. I'm very, very excited.
Well, I don't know if I'll be there the whole hour. I'll be there a few minutes because there's some really great tennis here.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I mean, you know, we'll let you talk first, and then we'll let you go quickly as well. So I know you're there for
that
this special
good.
Tournament. That's fantastic. But I'm really excited to have all of you with me this morning. A very happy Mother's Day to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Johnny.
Okay, let us start by getting to know each and every one of you all a little better. Please tell us a little bit more about yourself, a little background, where you grew up, and so forth. And Diane, by the way, Diane is my German mom from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, so she's going to start first because she is not going to be with us for the whole hour. Go ahead, Diane.
Yes, I was born in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and met my husband in Milwaukee, and we moved to Madison where he did his graduate work, and then we lived in New Jersey for 10 years. We lived in Brussels. And then we moved to Louisiana in Baton Rouge, and we've lived there for almost 40 years. So, and he plays a lot of tennis, and I go with him to watch. And I play tennis, too, but not this level of tennis that he plays. So we're watching people play tennis that are, like, number one in the world, number one in the U.S., really great tennis players here.
And these are people over 70, right? These are the senior players.
Well, 75. He's playing in the 75s. Wow. I'm watching somebody now that's 75. He's played in the summertime. He's played in the Davis Cup and, you know, just some really great tennis players here right now. Some are like, I'm watching one person. He's 80-some. He's playing singles, and he's great. And my husband is playing at 3:30 against the loser of the number one in the U.S. and his opponent. I don't know who's going to win, but I think the number one is going to win, so he'll play this other guy. So
fantastic. Dee, would you like to follow up? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in Pennsylvania and lived there until I was 18. And got married and lived in Ohio for probably 20 years. And then I lived in Canada for about 10. Mm-hmm. And I lost my husband, became a widow, and moved to Texas and remarried and lived here quite ever since. So I became a widow again a few years back. But I have grandchildren and great-grandchildren and a very active life. And basically I'm a mixture of a lot of nationalities. I had a very diverse childhood, but it's been very good for me because it gives you knowledge of all different cultures. I had a German grandfather, a Dutch grandfather, an English grandmother, and an American Indian grandmother. So a lot of my beliefs are things that generated from this multicultural family.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And Ginger, how about you?
Well, how about me? Well, it's like I'm afraid of 120 carat Cajun. My dad and my mother both are very staunch Cajuns. One lived. My daddy was from this little town called Abbeville, which is like maybe 25, 30 miles from New Iberia, mm-hmm. which is 25 miles south of Lafayette. Anyway, so New Iberia area is famous for oil, gas, sugar cane, salt, and of course, very friendly tourists. And we have a lot of beautiful areas over there that is a lot of the old Southern South and stuff like that. My dad is originally from a small town, like 25 miles or so. My mother's from the very small village of Lauraville, and it's mm-hmm. on the edge of the basin, the Chaffalaya Basin. So I'm afraid I'm pure French. There is nothing else to it. And my husband had told me, well, he'd tell people, he'd say, my wife is so much of a Cajun that people that don't know the Southern will not get this answer. Mm-hmm. But he said, my wife is so much of a Cajun, I have to put coal oil rags around her ankles to keep the cutworms off.
Very, very interesting. Well, this is a Mother's Day show, and what I like to start off with is to ask each of you ladies your relationships with your moms. Diane, how was your relationship like with your mom?
She was a great cook, mm-hmm. And so I learned a lot from her. She was she worked for a family in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and she was a nanny, and she did the cooking for this family. So she knew a lot, but you know, as growing up in our house, mm-hmm. we could not afford to buy some of the things that she had cooked. So, but I remember her coming to live with us in New Jersey when my middle son was born. And I was in the hospital, and my husband said, well, what would you like to make for dinner today? And he said, well, we have some veal cutlet in the refrigerator, but I don't know if you know how to cook. Oh, yes, I know how to cook that. And so he said it was the best veal cutlet he had ever eaten. So she had all the skills, but not all the ingredients mm-hmm. when we were growing up. So I guess that's how I became so involved in cooking. And now, you know, I can afford to buy mm-hmm. all the good things. And so, and we enjoy eating. Bill enjoys eating. And that's our life. You know, we don't eat out. We don't eat out much.
What's interesting is that I remember you telling me one time, you remember the very first meal that you cooked for your husband who was courting you at that time.
Yes, I was telling somebody that yesterday, because here at the tournament they always have bananas at a tournament, and mm-hmm. he ate one, but he couldn't eat it all. He ate part of it, and he said bananas aren't his thing. I said, don't you remember before we were married, I came to his parents' house, and I made stuffed pork chops in the oven, and I made banana cream pie, and it impressed him so much that, well, that's not why he asked me to marry him, but he knew that I knew how to cook, and that was important to him. So.
That's wonderful. How has your mom influenced you in your life?
Oh, wow, she was a great seamstress. Mm-hmm. In fact, she had a business that she sewed for people. And I did for a while also, I couldn't sew on her sewing machine when I was like 8 yet, so mm-hmm. I had to sew by hand. But shortly after that, she let me sew on her sewing machine. But I made doll clothes, and I still, to this day, I mean, I sew everything, you know. Mm-hmm. In fact, just recently I made tennis hats and a tennis purse.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess she instilled upon me that handmade things, well, they are much better than what you can buy at Walmart mm-hmm. or almost mm-hmm. any store, because most stores, things that are manufactured, they're manufactured in China, and they're done on, you know, fast. So
right.
They don't get the quality, so.
That's interesting.
But I can always, if I buy something, I look on the inside and I say, oh, this is junk, you know. I could do much better, so. Yeah.
Very interesting.
But,
well, yeah. Dee, how about you? What was your relationship with your mom like? And what was the most thing that she influenced you with in your life?
Well, I'm the same generation as Diane. I probably am a little older. I'm a Depression baby.
Mm-hmm.
And what most impressed me about my mother was her resilience and her resourcefulness to use whatever she had to the maximum ability.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was a stay-at-home mom until the Second World War, when she went to work in a factory to make military uniforms. But she made all our clothes. She had a garden. She canned. We made everything from scratch. And I'd say one of the most resourceful things she ever taught me, she taught all of us, there were four, to cook. Without a cookbook. She didn't have a cookbook. And she used to write notes on a piece of paper, but she taught us like how much baking powder goes with a cup, you know, two cups of flour. And she taught us a base so that we could create anything we wanted. And she was very active in the farming community.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the children and my friends, we belonged to the, you know, the clubs for the kids where you had to raise an animal or do whatever. And we went to the big event in our family was the state fair. And we all had to make something to enter in competition. And so she started me cooking. I entered homemade bread at the fair when I was 7. And by the time I was 18, I had a wall full of blue ribbons for pies and cakes and breads. And she didn't give us a recipe for anything. She told us.
Mm-hmm.
And then she told us to make it the way we wanted it to taste. So she taught us a very valuable lesson because I think that her lessons in cooking, much like your cookbook, Johnny, the
mm-hmm.
lesson was a life lesson,
mm-hmm.
Where we learned to take whatever life gave us and be I guess we learned to use that in our daily living. And by the way, your book that I had a copy of your book,
mm-hmm.
I loaned it to a friend of mine. And she called me the other day and she told me, she said, "This is a wonderful book," she said. "It has given me many moments of peace and calm, but I've learned something from every mother in the book." And I think I'm mother number 6. I forget which one Teresa Rose is in your book. But
yes.
I wanted to compliment you on the book, Johnny. It's a life lesson. And, yes, life does, you do begin to learn life in your mother's kitchen. Where else did we all learn? And we started there, and we learn from there, and then we go forth to teach our children.
Right.
But most of the families, big decisions, big moments, big announcements, come forth in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one incident on Mother's Day that I had made my mother a present, and I was probably 9. But in the morning, I had gone to a birthday party for another little girl, and my cousin, who was 12, chose that day to enlighten me on the birds and the bees, and she told me how babies are made. But her theory was completely different than the actual theory. She told me that if you kiss a boy 10 times, then you get a baby boy. If you kiss them 12 times, you get a baby girl. So, I'm 9, I believe that. So, at this Mother's Day dinner, if you can
mm-hmm.
believe this, a Mother's Day dinner, grandfather, grandmother, mother, father, siblings, I announced at the dinner table to my family that I'm having a baby boy. and my mother fainted. So that's probably most of my memorable Mother's Day story. And of course, my father was on the floor laughing. So and he finally asked me, how do I know this? And mm-hmm. I explained. I said, don't you people know? You know. And everybody was laughing, and I have never lived that down all of my life.
That's fantastic. That's really, really wonderful. By the way, thank you very much for bringing up the story about my book. I really appreciate that very, very much. I do have the book on sale on Amazon, Kindle, and I think it was like about a week or so ago, it was rank number 10 in the spiritual section of self-help and number 31 in the self-help itself, motivational. My hardcover is doing very well. It's number 36 in parenting and family relationship for parents and adult child. And believe it or not, my book made up to number 77 in the bestseller list in cooking, food and wine, essay section. So I'm very, very excited. And of course, I couldn't have done this without all of y'all's help in mentoring me, coaching me, and counseling me over the years, and listening to all my aches and pains and my inquiry mind wants to know. So for that, I really appreciate that you ladies are there for me. Coming back to Ginger, how about you? How was your relationship with your mom like, and what did she influence you most in your life?
Well, my dad had a restaurant, and I was the baby of the family. And when I say I was the baby of the family, my siblings were like 20-something years older than I was. So she had me when she was 48 years old, and she went to the, remember this much, she went to the doctors, and this is 1936, okay. She went to the doctor, and the doctor told her, well, he thought she had a tumor. And my mother looked at him, and she says, I don't have a tumor. I'm not going to say exactly what she said, but I don't have a tumor. She said, this is a baby. Mm-hmm. And I think he really didn't believe, because she was, and I was the only one, actually, that was born in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And you know, needless to say, I could say I was spoiled rotten, most probably. My daddy, I was the eyes of my daddy and my mother. And but she was a very stern a person. I mean, she did not let you get away with anything. And but she, like I said, it was a little bit different, because by the time I came along, my sister and my brother were gone. It was like raising an only child. Mm-hmm. And my mother was very religious, and she would cook breakfast. She didn't cook dinner, because we went to the restaurant to eat. But she'd cook breakfast. She had, our house had people that are staying upstairs, what they call roomers. They just, you know, they had a room and a bathroom, and that was it. And she always had coffee, and so she served coffee, and if you wanted to eat some of the breakfast that she had fixed, and it was usually a Cajun meal, and they had stuff like that. And she was very good. I was very close to her sisters and brothers, because it was a typical Cajun family. And it wasn't anything for us to go to the aunts or the uncles and cousins. And one of my cousins and I are still very close. We're about 3 weeks apart in age. So it's his birthday first. So when I called him, he's a pharmacist, and I'll tell him on the phone, okay, cuz, happy birthday. And so he kind of laughs at all that stuff. But my mother was really sweet. I mean, she was a good person. At that time, she was getting older and stuff like that, so it's a little bit different than having a mother like, say, 20 years before. Mm-hmm. And but I had a good time. I enjoyed myself. I got too much of my daddy in me not to be able to enjoy myself, and he was always doing something, very active, and I'm afraid I'm a same position. But I really enjoyed having my, I lost my daddy first, and then I lost my mother, and mm-hmm. I, you know, really and truly, I thought, oh, you know, this is, I got Daddy was bad. You know, that was okay. But I had my mother, and after my mother died, it was really very hard on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I learned through something happening that with my kids now, as I'm getting older, my kids more or less call me. One of my kids call me just about every day, "Mama, how you doing?" And then one of the others will call and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think they're getting older, so they realize that Mama's not going to be here forever. And I figured I'd tell them, okay, your mama's here because the good Lord don't want me and the devil won't have me, so y'all stuck with me over here. So anyway, but that's about it. I had a very good life. Like I said, my daddy got everything. I mean, I wasn't spoiled to the point. My mother would get me two outfits every season, you know, twice
mm-hmm.
a year. I get two outfits, and that was it. And, honey, I had to make do with that. And then, of course, I went to a private school, so we had uniforms and
mm-hmm.
all that stuff like that. But otherwise, beside that, I had a good life. I had a very good life. And when I met my husband, I got married when I was, they considered us still a kid. But
mm-hmm.
his mother is the one. My mother quit cooking because she would go to the restaurant. But
mm-hmm.
his mother's the one that showed me how to cook. And I was very close to her until the day she died. So, in fact, they had her in the hospital, and they were trying to see if she could remember who was with her around the
mm-hmm.
bed. And the nurse looked at her, and a poor darling, she was getting to where she didn't remember names.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd look at me, and she said, "Is this your daughter?" She said, "This is my right-hand man." And I think, oh, man, this was really something for me. But I was really very blessed with a very good mother and a very good mother-in-law. And
fantastic.
I always figured I was part of her.
Good for you. Diane, fast forward as a mother, what are some of the memorable experiences you have had celebrating Mother's Day with your family?
I can remember my daughter. She's passed away, but she would be 48. She
mm-hmm.
was conceived on Mother's Day. I'll never forget that.
Ooh.
And, yeah, Mother's Day. She was my first and my Mother's Day present.
Mm-hmm.
My other two sons, I get calls from my son. Well, when he was in medical school, he'd call and he'd say, "Mom, how do you make so-and-so?" And so I would, over the phone, give him the recipe for whatever he wanted, lasagna or I can't remember some of the things he wants, some seafood dish, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We won't be home for Mother's Day, or maybe we will get there, so I don't know if he will come
mm-hmm.
for dinner or my other son won't. He lives mm-hmm. in Crowley, Louisiana. So, but we plan to go visit him after we get home
mm-hmm.
in this next week sometime. So, Mother's Day is, well, right now it's like we spend Mother's Day just the two of us mostly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My son will probably call and come. But
mm-hmm.
We've been, you know, away for Mother's Day, you know, been to, we lived in Brussels for
mm-hmm.
about 6 months. We were there for Mother's Day now. You know, we lived in Madison and
mm-hmm.
We would come to Milwaukee. For, you know, the weekend or whatever for Mother's Day with
yeah.
my mother-in-law and mother. And she was like she was special, really special to me, my mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And we, most daughters and mother-in-laws, you know, either they don't like each other or they don't get along.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got along with her better than, I mean, I got along with my mother, but my mother-in-law
yeah.
was special. So.
She
would come to visit when we lived in New Jersey, and she would spend, first she spent 2 weeks, then after then she would spend a month, and same when we moved to Louisiana until she passed.
Mm-hmm.
She would spend a whole month with us, which was really great. I really missed that when she was no longer able to come. So.
Very interesting. What is your favorite Mother's Day treat for yourself?
Oh, treat for myself?
Mm-hmm.
I guess going out to eat would be one thing. Now, Bill will always buy flowers for Mother's Day, some plant that he put in the garden afterwards. Well, just having, I'm going to say, having the day off, you know, like somebody come to clean your house. like when I had my knee replaced,
mm-hmm.
one of my friends, for my birthday, not Mother's Day,
mm-hmm.
She came, she brought her maid, and her maid changed all the beds and vacuumed and did everything. And that was a really nice
treat.
Gesture, I thought, on her part, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bill said, well, for 3 months he took care of the house and took care of the meals, and I didn't, and the dishes and everything. And when he cleaned the house, he put the vacuum cleaner in the plug, and as far as the cord would reach, not as far as it got cleaned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dee, let's go with you.
All right.
Fast forward, as a mother, what are some of the memorable experiences you have had celebrating Mother's Day with your family?
Well, most of them are when my children were small, and they always made a great big fuss out of.
Mm-hmm.
We had a tradition in our family that we celebrated birthdays and holidays for a week instead of a day. And so Mother's Day was a very big event.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest son, Russell, he gave me for many, many years, probably till he was 15, a pin. And there's nothing wrong with a pin to put wear on your clothes, except he only liked red and blue.
Mm.
So he would bring me a lapel pin that always was red and blue and very gaudy. And he brought it, you know, at the dime store.
Yeah.
So that, and I still have a drawer full of those. And the other memory I have is the boys, he and his younger brother Larry, cooking me Mother's Day dinner. And, of course, they weren't fantastic cooks because they were little children.
Mm-hmm.
But they learned how to make, they made tomato soup and hot dogs and chocolate cake. For probably, I guess, 8-10 years, we had tomato soup, chocolate cake, and hot dogs for Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we had. But those are fond memories for me,
mm-hmm.
because they cooked it all. And it was the idea that they were doing it. So
mm-hmm.
There's a very lot of good Mother's Day memories. And then there's all the little presents they make in school for mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for teachers who are so creative with Mother's Day gifts and clay ashtrays and cardboard shoeboxes and all kinds of beautiful things. I once got a flower garden in a shoebox. All cardboard, of course, but very pretty.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
So I guess that would be my, those are some of my favorite Mother's Day gifts.
Wonderful. And how about treats? What is your favorite Mother's Day treat?
My favorite Mother's Day treat is a dessert, and it's very easy to make, and the kids learn to make it, and you take a very little angel food cake,
mm-hmm.
one of those round ones you get in the supermarket, and you tear it up into quarter-sized pieces in a big bowl, and then you make some strawberry jello, and you pour it all over the cake. And then you take some strawberries, and you throw them in there, some frozen ones, and put it in the refrigerator, and it sets, and you can't even see that all the pieces go together. And you can actually slice it like a cake and serve it with whipped cream on top of it. And it was a dessert that everybody could make, children could make. That was my mm-hmm. favorite one.
Very interesting. Well, Ginger, how about you? Fast forward, as a mother, what were some of your memorable experiences?
Yes. Well, my kids, you know, they would be in school and they'd break, you know, all make all these little pictures and whatever the teacher was doing and stuff like that. But they would come and they'd bring me all kind of stuff that it was mm-hmm. unbelievable. So my in fact, up to even to this day, my refrigerator is a bulletin board because everything gets put up there and stuff like that. And I have things from kids that really are not blood related,
mm-hmm.
but they very close to me, and they call me the mama or granny or something, and they made all this little stuff in like day school or you know, kindergarten, and they would give it to me. And my own kids were the same way. They just they would build, they would make all kind of stuff that they had at school, and they would give it to me, and I had it hanging all over everything. You know, it was it was really wonderful. I've kept all these memorabilia in books now, you know, so I could go back and look for it. So it really makes it nice.
What was some of the favorite Mother's Day treat that you have received over the years from your children?
I think actually I'm not too much big on like the cakes and stuff like that, but they what they were talking about, the angel food cake, and I like strawberries, and you make a strawberries and you make a glaze, and whenever you slice your cake, you put it on top of that with whipped cream or Cool Whip or whatever you want to do. I really enjoy that, or homemade pies, fruit pies, and I really enjoy that too, because that, the homemade pies take a while to make, so you know, it's just the idea of somebody going through the process of doing all that. So, but that's a couple of things I think I like the best.
Wonderful. How do you plan to celebrate Mother's Day this coming Sunday?
This coming Sunday, my oldest daughter is taking the family out. There, we're going to one of the restaurants in Baton Rouge. That what it is that they have me and, of course, my daughter, Fran, is living with me now, so it's Fran and I, and then they have my son-in-law's mother and sister at this luncheon. And we have a lunch downtown Baton Rouge. And it's one of the places that they really got it set up for tourists and stuff like that. And it's really nice. Downtown Baton Rouge has really made a really big comeback.
Wonderful.
And then my oldest son is cooking for me. And he's going to be grilling and stuff like that. But this will be Monday night. He said he wanted to do it on Sunday because it would be too full for me to on Sunday at noon. So that's what we're going to do.
So we know at least you have a couple of days of good Mother's Day celebration then.
Oh,
very good.
Definitely. I always have a good time on Mother's Day. I really do.
Wonderful. Well, Dee, how about you?
Well, we'll just have a very quiet family dinner since everybody has to drive a couple hours to get to my house. It'll just be a nice family dinner. And I won't do the cooking. I will just sit there like I'm the queen and get called to the table and eat and then open presents.
There you go. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
What was the greatest joy for you as a mother?
Just having children is such a blessing. And watching them grow and get families of their own and children of their own, and It all comes down to lessons in life, and I think the joy of being a mother is just watching your children bloom like flowers, and that would be my greatest joy.
That's wonderful. How about you, Ginger?
I could agree with her on that. To me, someone asked me, because like I said, I've never worked outside the home, and I was talking to some lady in the bank, I think, and so I remember, I said, she wanted to know what I did. I said, well, I'm staying at home. And she told me, she said, well, that's one of the biggest and the hardest jobs you have to do. But I'm very proud of, my kids have made me so happy because each one of them have different personalities, and they've made their way in life, and they have been doing very well. And, of course, I have grandkids and great-grandkids right now, so that has really made a big difference in my life. And I just like watching them and being there with them and all, you know, and especially the little ones. And we don't have too many of those because most of the kids are growing up. But anyway, so that's why we like it. That's why I like it. And I think it's, you know, I feel so blessed that the good Lord has sent me everything that he has.
Very interesting. Is there a recipe for living that your mom shared with you over the years while you were growing up that really made a difference in your life, Ginger?
I think I think it's really looking at, like, for one thing, like I told you, she was very religious, so mm-hmm. that had a lot of impression on me as I was growing up, and when I got out of school and all that stuff, because it was instilled on me, you know, what I needed to do or what I wanted to do. And if I could not do it, I would feel very lost about it. So that's one of the things that my mother really put in there. And another thing is she was, of course, she was, like I said, much older when I was, like, getting into teenage years and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been doing sewing from school, you know,
mm-hmm.
home ec. But she would look at me as if to say, well, I don't think you could do, you know, are you mm-hmm. sure you're going to be able to do that? And I'd do it, and then she'd do whatever dress or whatever outfit I was making. And she'd look at me, and she was just so proud it would make her happy. So that's one of the things I think that really stick with me. Mm-hmm. And always with my kids, even if they're grown now, they're always welcome in my home. There's no mm-hmm. like, oh, let me know when you're coming. You just drop in. If you come in, and that's it, you know. But that's one of the things I think made the biggest difference in my life. Just
wonderful.
Having four kids and experiencing their, you know, happiness and woes and all that. They would come in and they'd come in from school, and this is when they were like grandma grade, and they'd come mm-hmm. in from school. My sister was there, and she only had one child, and she didn't, you know, she wasn't used to having kids.
Mm-hmm.
Kids would come in, and man, they're all excited, and they were telling me what's going on or what they did that day and stuff like that. Then finally, when you get them out of the kitchen, because they always grab something to eat, and I would tell them, you have like an hour to play, then mm-hmm. you go do your homework. And then, of course, I'd have dinner ready by at night. And so they would come in, and she'd look at me. She says, Ginger, how in the world can you just be there? I said, well, they got so much stuff going on at school. They got to tell somebody. So I'm glad it's going to be me. And so that's one of the things I think the kids, you know, made a big difference in my life, because I really, really enjoyed them.
Wonderful. And Dee, how about you? Is there a specific recipe for living that your mom shared with you when you were growing up that really made a difference in your life today?
Well, there is, Johnny, and mm-hmm. it really is a lesson that came from my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was 19 when I was born, and so my grandmother was, I believe, only 38 at the time. But
mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about my Indian grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And the philosophy that she gave us, and she lived in our home, or we lived in her home, I should say,
mm-hmm.
and my grandfather for a lot number of years. But she really taught me a life lesson that I'm sure I've shared with you over the years, and you've put in your book, that
mm-hmm.
that we live each day at a time. So, but the biggest lesson that I was taught from her was that in order to be fulfilled in life, you have to forgive other people. In other words, if somebody hurt your feelings today,
mm-hmm.
she had a habit, she would say to me, well, a year from now, would that be important? And that's when some other kid calls you a silly name, you know.
Right.
I had red hair, and kids make fun of kids with red hair. And, of course, it didn't matter a year from now. So she taught me that in order to live happily, you get up every morning and you thank God for the day, or whatever great energy spirit you believe in. It all turns out to be the same. And you forget about yesterday, and you forgive everybody who hurt your feelings or hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And then she taught me something very, very important, that you have to forgive yourself And I think most of the time in our life, as we grow through life, we get in relationships that are painful. We have teachers that hurt our feelings. We have strangers that comment on our appearance. And all these things build up inside of us until we become our own self-criticism group. And we have to learn to forgive ourselves and let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that lesson comes a really great one. Don't pay any attention to what people say about you. If they give you constructive criticism, listen to it because you'll learn something.
Right.
But don't live your life by what kind of car your neighbor thinks you should drive.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, be your own person, but be happy. And one time she told me I should be like my little dog, Pepper. And I thought that was the funniest thing. And she says, no, Pepper doesn't worry about yesterday. He doesn't even worry about this morning. He doesn't worry about tomorrow. He's only happy right this very minute.
Very true.
You pet him, he's happy. Go for a walk, give him a treat. Mm-hmm. He forgives you every other thing. He's happy right now. And I think that I've followed that philosophy all of my life. So, yes, it was influenced through my mother, through my grandmother, probably through the Indian culture for hundreds of years,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
you forgive yourself and you forgive other people.
Very interesting. That's very, very interesting. Well, that's a wonderful way of looking at life sometimes, because we tend to always think about the past and then the future, but never pay attention to the present moment. And what you just said, that's very, very, very sound advice, that it's timeless.
Well, it is, Johnny, and we spend a great deal of our life thinking about what we did wrong or what we could have done to make something different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it's over with and it's past, you can't fix it anyway.
Right.
It's done.
Right.
And why are you spending today worrying about what you may have not have done right yesterday? Just say, well, and this is the very word she used to tell me when I was a mm-hmm. little girl. I cooking was my hobby, and as I told you, I had no cookbooks.
Mm-hmm.
I learned by experience, and I'd make something, it wouldn't be any good, and I would feel really, really bad. And you know what she would say to me?
Mm-hmm.
She'd say, she used to call me Gypsy because I was always wandering around in the fields and picking flowers. She'd say, you did the very best you could. You were doing the best you could. Now leave it be. And I think we live life that way.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is in our life at the moment, we've done the very best we could do at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe tomorrow we could do it better, but we can't go back and do it.
Very true. Very,
and
very
true. I think it makes a happier life, Johnny, when you don't beat yourself up every day.
Very true. Very, very true. Ginger.
Yes.
As a mother, do you have an advice for mothers who will be celebrating Mother's Day for the first time this year?
Yes, I think the only thing I could say is that you're a mother for the first time,
mm-hmm.
just enjoy what you have. Enjoy your baby, if it's a baby, if it's someone that maybe came into your life and you adopted as a mother, adopted this child, and just learn how to live and enjoy them. I have to agree. I think the thing is you don't keep looking back and saying, oh, I should have done this, or well, you know, why did you do this for me? The
mm-hmm.
thing is that you forget. You can forgive, but you forget whatever it is that bothers you so much, and you accept all the blessings the good Lord sends you, because, believe me, He sends people in your life for a certain reason. And this is what the reason, whatever the reason is, it's to
mm-hmm.
help you and see if you can get yourself going in the right direction. And so, I mean, as far as for my kids, I've always told them, it didn't make any difference what is going on, that you will always be able to come to my house or come to me and be there and tell, you know, just let me know what's going on and stuff like that. And the first mothers, I think that's the good thing to know, I think, is that just accept your baby, and your baby will continue to love you no matter how old they get. And I think that's the main reason. And since my husband is gone, I think what's happened is that kids have a tendency to do whatever they want to do. They think it's the most important thing in the world. Mm-hmm. But when something is taken away from them and there's something that they really care for, this is when they turn around and want to be able to grab onto it and make sure that they don't lose it again. And so I know, especially since with my kids, especially since that daddy has died, they want to hold on to me because they figure that's a very, very strong thing. They don't want to have to lose me for whatever reason. So anyway, and that's why I say you just follow what the good Lord gets you or sends you, and you will. It will be just right for you.
Fantastic. That sounds really good. Well, Dee, how about you? Do you have any advice for mothers who are celebrating Mother's Day for the first time this year?
Well, I think Ginger said it absolutely right. Accept your child as they are and love them unconditionally. And that's my best advice for a new mother. Accept your child, you know, all their quirks and smiles and happiness. And of course, when you're a new mother, you're sure your child is perfect, and in reality your child is perfect. So just enjoy the child and enjoy Mother's Day, and the rest of it will take care of itself.
That's wonderful. By the way, ladies, we're coming close to the end of the show. Do you ladies have a recipe for living you would like to share with our listeners this morning? How about you, Ginger? Let you start with the recipe for living.
Okay. Well, I think the thing is like I said, you don't keep looking back and try to beat yourself up. So you always look forward. You never look back. You continue. You do the best you can at the time with what you'll be able to do. And I think that is the best time to do. You can go and look into the future if you want and hope and pray this will wait. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. So if you do the best you can with what you have and what you know, it's the best thing for living.
Wonderful. And how about you, Dee?
Well, I have a little simple philosophy that is what I myself live by. And I try every day to do something nice for someone. And I try to pick out someone who I think does not have anybody to particularly to do something nice for them, such as Mother's Day and Sunday. And I know two very elderly ladies older than me, and that's pretty hard to come by. And I will be going by their house on Saturday and giving them a small gift for Mother's Day. And this year it's going to be a wind chime. But I try every day of my life to do something nice for someone, whether it's a phone call, an email, on my Facebook page, everybody that has a birthday gets a happy birthday from me. And I actually make it a point to get up in the morning and say, Father, tell me who I should do something nice for today. And what I have discovered about this in giving, and what you're giving is your love, is you can't outgive God. If I give five people a nice thing, 10 people will give me a nice thing. And I have watched this over the years grow and grow and grow till I have wonderful people in my life like you, who is an adopted son and who wrote about me in his wonderful book. That's a blessing. And I've noticed that the more I give, the better life is. And so I am 80 years old now, and I'm very active, and I still enjoy every day And I haven't figured out who I'm going to do something nice for today. But hopefully there'll be somebody who listened to us this morning that learned one little thing about being happy. So I would wish them all happy Mother's Day. And I would wish all of you a blessing today from someone. I guess that's my recipe.
That's wonderful. I mean, you two ladies have some wonderful stories and wonderful recipes for living to share with other people. And these are the things that actually I've learned from all of you. And, of course, both of you are very special to me. I enjoy talking to both of you all from time to time. And you know that because I've always called you guys and asked for advice. But one of the things that I've learned over the years collectively is that it's the power of relationships, the nature of love, and the meaning of life that you all have taught me. That's very, very powerful. And these are the things that I've learned. When love is given without regard to condition to anyone at any age, in any setting, it always serves as a catalyst to catapult them to a higher state of self-actualization. And I have experienced that. For that, I'm very, very thankful. And because of that, I wrote my book, do my radio show, and speak about the things that I've learned from my various moms. And now I'm on a mission to motivate people to create opportunities for themselves to leave a legacy of love. And it's because thanks to you ladies that make a difference in my life. I mean, I'm very thankful with what you guys have done and the knowledge you have given to me that allow me to write my book and mention again the things that my book have accomplished right now on Kindle. It's on the bestseller list for self-help in spiritual and motivation. And then my hardcovers is on the bestseller list for parenting and relationships for parents and adult child. I could not have done all this without you ladies behind me. It took me a long time to learn to get to where I'm at. For that, I'm very, very appreciative. So thank you so much, ladies, for that. And also thank you again for joining me this morning on the radio show. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning, May 15, for our regularly scheduled From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. For additional information about that show and future shows, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. Thank you for listening. Happy Mother's Day to all mothers everywhere. And ladies, Ginger, Dee, thank you again, and happy Mother's Day to both of you, and I love you very, very much.
I love you too, baby. You take it easy and enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
I love you too, Johnny. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye, ladies.
Bye-bye.